Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, baby, we're pumping it up. Happy Sunday morning, each and every one of you out there. The Going Old School Show, Sunday, Week 7, NFL edition. Yours truly, Johnny Sunships here. Before we get into the particulars, bring in my co-host for today. Thank God he's here, because I'd be doing the show all by myself. Mr. John Crow. JC, happy Sunday to you, man.
Happy Sunday to you, and I'm going to a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, so if you can give me a moment, I will make my order and then join you for the show.
You got it, man. That's good. That's live radio right there, man. Anyway,
a bottle of Coke and two chocolate frosted donuts.
Yeah, that's right up your alley, right?
You know, it is what it is. I need fuel, man.
You hear that, man. We do it.
You got it.
Here he goes. I love the diatribe. That's great. But, JC, man, obviously we're on the Blog Talk. We're live on blogtalkradio.com. It is Sunday morning, the 23rd of October of the year 2022. If you want to join us for the next hour, as Crow and I go through the NFL slate, we'll talk Patriots right off the top. And we'll get into a little baseball because the Fall Classic could be set by the end of today. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit of baseball on the show. You can join us, 515-602-9730. Once again, 515-602-9730. JC, happy National Tight Ends Day to you.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, is a certain George Kittle a little happier in San Francisco now that he's got a new running mate in Christian McCaffrey?
You would think so. And you know what I like about that move? They're going for it. I like that. You talked about Trey Lance, the guy of the future. We're not sure of him yet. They aren't. Garoppolo, is he the Band-Aid? Is he here for a year? But you know what they're doing? They're going for it. They're looking at the Rams. They're looking at the conference, which only has a couple of teams over 500, and they're saying, all right, let's go. Let's get this arms race going, and let's show that we belong. And we're committed to a Super Bowl, much like we're not sure what Tom Brady's doing in Tampa, but that's a whole other story. But, yeah, National Tight End today, the Tight Ends Day in San Francisco, Kittle, Kelce, could be an interesting matchup this Sunday. But
yeah, there's no question. You bring up about the NFC. We talked about it with Howard Balzer on Wednesday, and make sure you make that appointment every Wednesday at 7 here on the Old School Podcast. It's, you know, Brady's down, Rodgers is down, Stafford's down, you know. I don't blame the 49ers for going for it. The only question is the running back question. They always get injured in Shanahan's offense. Why is that? You know, I think they have to take a look at that, especially with McCaffrey's history of getting injured each and every year.
Yeah, his workload has been astronomical in his short career. You're right. And the little dinged-up injuries, sometimes that's a trend. But once you start getting those, and not that they're necessarily obviously he was out major portion of last year, but sometimes those little injuries are the ones that can be affected most, especially by the guy. He's not big in stature. He can move. He can scoot. He can, you know, he can move laterally. But, you know, those things catch up to a guy who has speed and quickness, and it inhibits players such as he to lose a little bit of quickness. So a half a step loss by Christian McCaffrey is a full step loss by a lot of people. But you're right. Is it the offense? Is it the, you know, with Elijah Mitchell being out? That's a good question, JC, and how they handle it. But they've got to be feeling good from a team standpoint about this going to that matchup, first time the Niners and the Chiefs have matched up since Super Bowl 54. So that'll be interesting. Well, we're going to go through the Sunday slate, but I do want to start off with the Patriots game because that's where we're here in New England. And man, oh man, I don't know about you, Jason. I don't know about you as you bite into that chocolate donut. But
not yet.
But I am sick. I had to turn off sports radio. I'm a sports radio junkie, and I had to turn it off this week because it's the Bailey Zappi, the quarterback controversy, Mac Jones. Is he not taking the coaching? Is the coaching staff fed up with him? It is like you would think it's Montana Young back in the day or Bledsoe Brady like we talked about on Wednesday some 20 years ago. It's not. The guy was in his second year. Can we stop making a big deal out of it? Your thoughts on that as we head into Monday night's match?
Yeah, you know, it is partially because of the generation we live in now in society who doesn't really remember what happened, you know, 30 seconds ago, and You know, I just hope that it's not putting undue stress on the timetable with Mac Jones and the coaching staff on their perspective on what to do here, because it's pretty simple. When you're dealing with a high ankle sprain, it's usually a 4 to 6 week window for it. We're at week four now, you know, so you're right on the cusp on, you know, whether it should start to feel good and start to, you know, push things in practice and whether you want to get in on the game field or not, you know, obviously coach, player, organization decision. But there's no need to rush this thing, especially when you take into fact that you've had the extra day, you're playing the Bears who suck Monday night, and then you're going into a period where you're playing the Jets, really good team, Colts, really good team, and then a bye. So take into account, to me it's pretty simple. Mac Jones, 100% healthy, put him out there. Less than 100% healthy, don't put him out there. But when you read reports from Jeff Howe, and I firmly believe that he's taking everything from Mac Jones' camp, that going to them, took most of the reps in practice on Saturday, and will be the starter Monday night, Mac Jones. To me, I'm like, yeah, I'm not all there yet. You know, I have to see it. I have to feel it. I have to see that he's 100% healthy. Otherwise, I think you're taking an undue risk with the rest of the season for a team who has kind of turned it around and maybe is buying into what they did last year a little bit with 1-3 starts to get a win streak. You win one tomorrow night, you're at 3-game winning streak and rolling. I don't know. Where do you stand, Chips, on what they do at quarterback tomorrow night?
Well, I think he wants to play, obviously. I think the good thing that can come out of it is maybe a little fire under Mac Jones. I know he wants to get back here, but maybe now he's looked at, and if you believe some of the reports, that he's a little arrogant, maybe a little conceited. You pick and choose what you want to believe. It's just a matter of how you interpret who you're listening to and what you're reading. But if that's the case, then maybe it's a dose of humble pie, and maybe it's an incentive for him. We saw when Garoppolo came here and lit a fire into Tom Brady, and what he did for a few years with Tom Brady to kind of maybe sort of re-energize where he was in his career. Maybe that's the same thing which is happening here. Because, you know, Mac Jones realizes that he's only in his second year, and we're not sure, and I don't think the organization is sure in their heart of hearts, what he means moving forward 4, 5, 6, even 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now if it goes that far. So it's all on the table here. So the good news is maybe it lit a fire under his butt and there's going to be a little competition, and competition never hurt any team in the NFL or in any other major sports that we follow and we talk about here on the Going Old School show. But to your point, JC, I can't see him being 100%. And if he's not 100%, I think it behooves the team to not start him, because right now Zappe is band-aiding at best. We're looking at, I think they're going to win Monday night. We'll get into that as we go along later. But I think they're going to win tomorrow. And you're looking at a kid named Zappe. At least you know what you have in a backup quarterback. And, oh, by the way, you're winning. And your star, Terror, is resting and healing himself 100%, because he comes back and he's not 100%. I'm talking about Mac Jones. And he gets hurt and it's worse. And that's a whole different situation moving forward.
Yeah, and I think the other concern, and I think this is kind of where the Belichick camp is, where I think if they had their druthers, Bailey Zappe would start tomorrow night. But I don't think they want to put Mac Jones out there as the backup quarterback on the sideline and have a situation where he has to go in. And maybe he just doesn't perform as well, or he does get hurt, and now you're dealing with Garrett quarterback. So I almost think, you know, as we sit here Sunday, you know, 10 a.m., day before the game, that they're going to fall into the line that tests are fine, Mac says he's ready to go, we're going to start Mac Jones, and they're just more comfortable with the order. And that if Mac Jones doesn't play well, gets hurt, they're perfectly fine with going with Bailey Zappe. But they're not comfortable going the reverse. Am I nuts here, Chips?
I agree with you. So if that's the case, then you don't dress him. But I think would they, on the other hand, devil's advocate, you know, would you dress him and put him on the sidelines to make him watch the guy who couldn't see you? Is that maybe like a, I'm not saying like a you sit in the corner and watch what goes on, and you can't get out of the corner until we say so, with your dunce cap on and the apple in your mouth, so to speak. Maybe it's a way of them sending a message. Maybe it's subliminal. Maybe, again, depending on what you believe in, is there a disconnect between him and the coaches? It certainly was in the preseason. I mean, we all know that with the offensive coaches and Judge and Patricia. Is that resonating now? And maybe, okay, see, this guy's taking orders. You sit on the sideline. It's not a good optic. I agree with you. And if he's at 100%, do you not dress him? But what you're hearing, even if he's 90, I think you just may have to dress him, because if Zappe does not perform well, you need a guy like Jones to come in, because you don't want to lose this game Monday night to Chicago. It's going to be a real interesting situation, John. And if you're a director in that truck on Monday Night Football, man, those cameras, you get them all over the sideline. The sideline and the cameras on the quarterbacks and the coordinators and Belichick and Mac Jones, if he's there, and Zappe as he's off the field, that's going to be more the show than maybe the game itself, quite frankly.
Yeah, and I believe this is a Manning cast week. So as much as I love Buck and Aikman, I almost think, at least for the first quarter, I'm going to have to tune in to the Manning cast, because I want to hear Peyton and Eli and get their insights as to this whole situation and what a quarterback's thinking on both sides, whether it's Zappe or Jones. And I really just think that if you're the Patriots, if you're going to be in a position to dress Mac Jones, then he's good to go. I don't think you dress him and say, okay, you're just going to sit as a backup, because I do think that sends a message to not only the team, but to everybody else that, yeah, there is a little rift. Because if you're dressed, you're ready to play.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're ready to go, then he should be the starter, because you basically told us that, you know, he's the guy. I know Bill Belichick refuses to say the word, Mac is the starter, which, you know, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, we could go hours talking about Belichick and his means of talking to the media, which are, you know, archaic at best. But, you know, that will speak volumes to me as to what they do and how they play it out Monday night. But it's a good spot for the Patriots overall, if you take out the quarterback situation, in that they have another week where it's a winnable game, it's at home, and you should be able to take care of business, be 4-3, and then say, all right, Jets, let's see how we really are against quality opponents.
Yeah, I like New England tomorrow night, too, and I like them pretty handily, regardless of who's a quarterback. I just saying, Justin Fields, man, we don't know about this guy, whether it's a team around him or him. We're waiting for this guy to improve, and he's not showing any signs of improvement. I'll put that on the quarterback. The saga keeps growing. The Bears defense is third versus the pass. That's the one good thing they have going for them. Otherwise, up in front offensively and on the line, front line, they don't have much to go on. They're not really a star-studded cast offensively. They don't really put a lot of points on the board. They have more interceptions than they do TD passes allowed. Again, if you're the Bears, it's Justin Fields. I'm not expecting a breakout game from him at all. Again, we're not sure. But I like the Patriots tomorrow regardless, and Belichick will move solely into second place on all-time wins by a head coach, playoffs and regular season, behind the one and only Don Shula. So that's how I feel. Your thoughts as well?
Yeah, I agree. I like the Patriots pretty handily. You know, unless, you know, they get into one of these games, they turn the ball over a couple times early, and then they get themselves behind. But, yeah, I expect we've seen the secondary for the Patriots be opportunistic. So Justin Fields provides those opportunities to them. So I expect them to get a couple turnovers themselves. And, yeah, Belichick against, you know, young quarterbacks, you know, we know the records there. But, you know, you bring up the point about the Bears, and yeah, they can get after the quarterback, which is, you know, one of the only reasons I like Zappe more than Jones, just because of the mobility to get out of there. Not, you know, not like Lamar Jackson-esque, but, you know, those one or two, three times in a game that you just need to avoid it, make a play, dump it off to the back of the tight end, and move the chains. You know, instead of going off the field three downs, three and out, you move it, maybe you score some points in that. Mac Jones isn't that type of guy. You know, that's not his MO. He's more of a breed, sit in the pocket guy, you know, try to avoid it. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, hopefully we will end week 7 here with a victory in Foxborough. But, you know, it's amazing. We talk about the Jets. I mean, you talk about the division. The Bills are off today. The Steelers and the Dolphins play tonight, and you bring up Chula, you know, they're going to toast that 72 team. And, you know, is there any more, you know, for me, it's an aggravating thing. You know, sports is always about cheering on people, supporting and everything. That freaking 72 Dolphins team roots against every freaking NFL player and team known to man since 1973, and yet they get celebrated. Why is that? They're the most negative team I've ever seen.
It's true, too. And, you know, think about that year, 72. They lost the Super Bowl to Dallas pretty handily. I believe it was 28-3 the year before. So you're talking about a Super Bowl hangover. They came out differently then. It's tough to compare. Obviously, as a Patriot fan, you got and I'm not a diehard, obviously. I follow the team. That 18-1 season in the Giants still sits in as one of the more downer moments of that 50-plus year. 20-plus years of bliss in the NFL. That's, no matter how many Super Bowls you win, JC, that's got to stand out as one of the bitter moments, if not the most bitter, because you had a chance to not arguably undefeated, but probably be looked at as the greatest team for one season overall in the history of the NFL. So that's gotta be part of the angst, right?
Oh, there's no question. I just wonder, you know, if it will ever come up, because, you know, it's hard to become, you know, be undefeated and go through it now as so many games, extra game now in the regular season. But I would love to see a scenario where the Miami Dolphins are undefeated, going for the Super Bowl just one year, and have those jabronis from 72 come out and say, yeah, we hope they lose.
Yeah, you think there'd be some
support
there. We want
to pop our champagne.
Yeah, you think there'd be support there, but no, not the case. But, hey, you know they'll be wearing their throwback, and we'll see what happens then. And we'll get to the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. The Miami-Pittsburgh game a little later on. But let's go up and down the slate, shall we? In the next 40-some-odd minutes we have. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns. They're 2-4, and they go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, who are 3-3, like many of the other teams in the NFL. The Ravens have blown double-digit leads in the second half of all three losses. In all six games, they say, they've trailed only 2 minutes and 9 seconds average each game, yet they've lost it. Yet they've lost all three. So it's pretty interesting how they have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in their three losses.
Yeah, and I would just love to know, and, you know, you get John Harbaugh in a corner in a silent moment and say, okay, so what was the riff with Wink Martindale? What didn't you want to give him? You know, what did he ask for that you didn't want to give him? Because it's playing out. I mean, the team obviously would be better with Wink Martindale, you know, taking his wares and his know-how from Baltimore to the Giants this year. We've seen how that has played out. But, yeah, I mean, it gets into your head, you know. You lead by double digits in all six games and you lose half of them. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, when you look at this game, the Browns and the Ravens, and the Browns have played pretty well in Baltimore the last few years, but Browns without Watson, we saw what they did last week, and Brissett has come down to earth and, you know, threw a couple of passes that he shouldn't have. He's being, you know, treading water. But you look at their strength of schedule, you know, at least for the Ravens, you know, they've got the seventh hardest schedule right now through six games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at least you can say, okay, they, you know, there are games that they've lost, you know, okay, maybe they've hit the bumps there, but at least they're playing good teams. The Browns are 2-4, and they've played the second easiest schedule in the league.
Yep.
If you're Kevin Stefanski, you got something to explain.
No question about it. Definitely underachieving because there's still some talent on both sides of that ball. So to start with the quarterback, is the Deshaun Watson stuff hovering over them still? Maybe it's going to be a breath of fresh air. Maybe this is what's good for the whole Deshaun Watson situation because there is no controversy, at least on the field, because he's the quarterback. Brissett, we've seen in the past, he's an average or above average quarterback, can execute and keep you from losing, but he hasn't looked good at all with the Browns. Maybe there's a lot of this underlying pressure, this whole situation with Deshaun Watson, JC, that's going to be sort of an underscore. After, you know, when we look back on the Cleveland Browns 2022 campaign, regardless of whether he plays or not, because there's something going on. Like you said, the close games, you could say they could be 5-1, but they could easily be 0-6 as well. So there's a fine line between that success and that failure. And I don't think they have any hope today. I think Baltimore comes out, rights the ship, and Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson reestablishes himself, and the Ravens go to 4-3 and they finally get over that 500 hump.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a feel good cure all game for the more Ravens. But if you're the Browns, run the ball. You're averaging 172 yards a game. You know? Yeah. Limit the mistakes, manage the game, see what's going on around the league, and that's what's getting it done for teams who are struggling. Manage the game and let your strengths run through. But yeah, I don't think they're going to get it done today. I think Baltimore gets the W.
Agreed. The 3-2 Buccaneers travel to Carolina. The 1-5 Panthers, who are without Christian McCaffrey now, and Baker Mayfield, Chuba Hubbard, and Dante Foreman are the running backs for P.J. Walker and his Carolina offensive team looking to rebuild, obviously. First of all, J.C., Baker Mayfield, we've probably seen the last of him as a starting quarterback, number one. And your thoughts on that before we move on to the other side of the ball? Because I like Baker Mayfield, and it may have been a good spot in Cleveland, hindsight being 2020 and what's happened with both teams. But this is Baker Mayfield's last hurrah, and we probably have seen it as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and the one caveat, and I think we talked about this in the offseason on one of our Wednesday shows, I thought the route for him, rather than going to a bad team, and Carolina's situation in the offseason was just terrible. You know, Matt Rhule was in hot water, and just, it was just bad. And it's played out that way. I think the route for him is to go to a quality team with a good offensive coach, like Tampa, like San Francisco, you know, like L.A. with the Rams, learn. Expand your horizons as to what the NFL play should be in 2022, not flinging it all over the place like you did in Oklahoma, you know, and that's how he gets back. That's how I think he gets back to get his opportunity, because I think you're right. I don't think no one's handing him a starting role, you know, when you're laughing out P.J. Walker out there and basically trading the rest of the team. Who knows if D.J. Moore and Brian Burns, if they're next in Carolina, but yeah, I think you're done with Baker Mayfield. The experiment has failed. You know, he needs to be retaught the game again at this point. But who's going to do it?
A big game for TB12 today. 4-0 versus Carolina since 2020. 10 TDs, one interception. But 2012 was the last time a TB12 team had a 500 record this far into a season. He's got to right the ship today with his teammates, JC, in a big way. In order to, because this is the crux game for this franchise and this team. If he doesn't come out and perform well today, then let me tell you something. This team could be on a downward spiral.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat the 1-5 Panthers, then hang it up. Their problem is offensively. They're 21st in scoring. They've only scored 121 points in 6 weeks, which is a joke when you have Tom Brady. And, you know, his cast of characters. I don't care if he's 45. That dude should be putting up more points than he is. But luckily, the Panthers are only scoring 17 a game. They're dreadful, you know. So it's not only for the Bucs to win today. They have to dominate in order to be a successful Sunday for them. And I think they'll do that. I think they win by 20 today.
Yeah, I do too. And a little later on, we'll get into a route shout and bust out as well. During the show. About 36 minutes left in the show here as JC and I are going around the slate on the old school show, NFL Week 7 Sunday edition. Again, if you want to join us, you can at 515-602-9730, 515-602-9730. Let's move right along, JC, and go to the Atlanta Falcons. 3-3, surprising Atlanta Falcons at the 3-3 Cincinnati Bengals. You could argue that's a surprise as well. The Falcons have the fifth overall touchdown rate in the red zone at 66.7% of their opportunities. Arthur Smith's doing a nice job with Marcus Mariota and crew in Atlanta.
Yeah, kudos to them. And they just grind it. They realize Marcus Mariota can't throw it around a lot. They run it 52% of the time, highest in the league. And that's what they should do. Hey, if you're a better, the Falcons are making you money this year. They're 6-0 against the spread. Right now, the line, I think, is they're plus six. I'll take the Falcons all day long against the Bengals. Game, you know, and it wouldn't shock me if the Falcons go in there. I'm not picking that to happen, but I would absolutely take the Falcons with the points today.
Yep, absolutely. I like the Falcons at the points, so I think Cincinnati's going to win. Ja'Marr Chase coming off his best game last week. And the Bengals are 15-21 in their red zone opportunities with 12 TDs and 3 field goals. Bengals, I'm still not sure they're going to make the playoffs. It kind of like, you know, again, 3-3. We don't know. There's no cream rising to the top right now, with the exception of four or five teams at the most in all of the NFL. So the next 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be a little later cream rising to the top, and the Bengals could be one of the teams. I think they get to 4-3 today against Atlanta, but I think the Falcons, JC, agree, will keep it close. Dallas Cowboys.
It's funny, just, you know, you talk about the parity, the division, the AFC North, the NFC South, and the NFC West. 3-3 is getting it done.
Yeah, no kidding. It's good. So, hey, if you're looking for parity and you're looking for evening out and just exciting football with the close games, it's good football to see. So any game is a go. There's no very few of these games you can look at today and say, okay, slam dunk here, slam dunk there, because you just never know, especially this early, without anyone really rising to the front lines. The Detroit, 1-4 Detroit Lions coming off a horrible performance against the Patriots 2 weeks ago, to Dallas. 4-2 Cowboys. Dak Prescott back in the mix. He should have plenty of incentive with Cooper Rush waiting in the wings, knowing Cooper can at least execute the offense, JC. Dallas leads the league in sacks with 24, and the Lions are tied for the fewest with 7. Something's got to give here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a similar question we have here in New England with Zappe and Mac Jones. Will the Dallas offense look similar to what it's been the last 4 weeks, or will they go back to slinging it 40 times a game with Dak? And, you know, that's not what's set in Dallas, you know, to be successful at 4-2. They went 3-1 without Dak, and, you know, run the ball should be enough to hold, you know, Detroit. Who knows what you're going to get? They came into Foxborough a couple weeks ago as the highest scoring offense, you know, about 38 points a game, and got shut out. After a bye week, we'll see if they can keep up with Dallas, who, you know, third straight and looked amazingly well until they ran into the Philadelphia Eagles last week. So it wouldn't shock me if this was more of an offensive shootout, but somehow I think that we're going to get the Jared Goff of old, couple turnovers, and it's going to turn into, like, you know, a 16-point Dallas win.
Yeah, I do too. I think Prescott is a story, but this big story of this game in the Dallas Cowboys defense. They've been getting it done. They're formidable, and they're playing well at the right time, and they're 4-2. And that division gets better each game, so the NFC East is not the NFC least. It actually could be arguably the best division in all of football right now. Again, lots of teams at 3-3, but I like the Cowboys today to get well in Prescott, to move the offense, and they'll be juiced up and fired up in Big D as Dallas will go to 5-2. The other NFC East team that one of the NFC East teams we're talking about, other than the Eagles and the Cowboys, are the New York Giants. 5-1. They go to Jacksonville. Haven't started 6-1 the Giants since 2008. Daniel Jones completing 67% of his passes, 5 TDs, 2 interceptions, only 1,021 yards, but he had a good performance last week, JC. But, you know, you talk about the defense, and you're not asking a lot of Jones if Saquon Barkley stays healthy. Giant team, are they for real? I think they are, and I think it's a pretty good sample size to tell me that they are for real with what's going on with the coaches and some of the personnel on that part. But they take on the Jags, who have lost 18 straight versus the conference in the NFC.
Isn't that crazy? 18 straight. It's tough to do anything 18 straight times in any sport. The Jags are doing it, so they'd probably make it 19 today, but hey, who knows? You know, that's coming, you know. But Doug Peterson maybe will right to ship. He knows the Giants really well from his time in Philly. But, yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones, you know, you look at him, and at some point Brian Daboll is going to have to expand this offense. They're doing a great job running the ball.
Yep.
A third and, you know, rushing, you know, overall maybe 463 yards a game. Jags are really good against the run, the third defensively. So, thing when you look at, you know, guys making big plays and, you know, average target yards per pass, Daniel Jones is 31st in the league. Crazy. Just 6 yards per target.
Yep.
They're just not allowing him to get it. And whether that's a separation issue with his receivers, the routes that they're running, the plays they're calling, you know, Brian Daboll is better than that. So, I know he wants to instill confidence and, you know, continue with what's working. But at some point, Now we're 6 weeks in the season. There's a lot of tape out there. You need to expand the product. So yeah. I look for them to do that today.
I do too. I like the Giants going to Jacksonville. And incidentally, the Giants are only one of two teams to have a losing record franchise-wise against the Jaguars, the other of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like the Giants say to go to 6-1 and just continue to be the story or one of these stories out there back in New York as far as football. But it's interesting. Like you said, Daniel Jones aspect is interesting. The Giants, they go out and get a guy like Chase Claypool, who's been rumored in some aspects to go be on the trade block with the Steelers because they're loaded at the position. Are they going to do that to upgrade, to give Daniel Jones a little more comfortability, another weapon, so to speak, or a weapon, or a potential number one, where you say they're going to have to take the leashes off and let them throw the ball downfield a little bit and expand the play field? So that'll be interesting, JC. I like the Giants today as well.
Let me ask you about the Jaguars on the other side. Do we look at Doug Peterson and what they're doing there a little bit differently? I mean, they went into Philadelphia, you know, homecoming game for him. They were 2-1, leading the AFC South at the time, 14-0 lead, and then boom, haven't been the same, including a loss to the lowly Houston Texans.
I agree.
Kind of look at them differently now?
A little bit, but I think they're still young. I think they're headed in the right direction. And, you know, six games in after such a really tumultuous year on the field and off the field, and I think the big thing is you need to regrow the confidence of Trevor Lawrence, because I think last year maybe stunted him a bit. So I'm not down on this team yet. They're 2-4. I think they'll play better. It just changed the optic, in a, you know, because they were 2-1 at one point, I think. But I'll keep in mind that they're still pretty young. They got a good defense, a decent line with a couple of studs, a couple of rookies there. And I like what they're saying. Etienne is a better back than I thought he'd be at this level, him and James Robinson. I think they're on the upswing. If they lose today, they're losing to a decent Giant team I think is better than them and playing better. But I'm not as down on the Jaguars because of the youth and because of the culture change. It's going to take a little more than six games to remedy all their ills, which is a long, long season, more than we know as a player. Last year with them. But if they can beat the Giants today and get off that 18-game schneid against the NFC, it's big. But who knows? Are we waiting for the Giants shooter job, JC? I don't know. But I like them today. But the Jaguars, still a work in progress. Moving right along. Crow and Chips here for you on the Going Old School Show, Sunday edition, Week 7. Indianapolis at 3-2-1. They are at Tennessee, who is 3-2 as well. The Colts have allowed 21 sacks, fifth most in the NFL. And, you know, JC, I thought Matt Ryan was in a good position going in because of their offensive line, which I thought was one of the strong points. But Frank Reich has used three offensive line combinations to start the game in his last 3 weeks. That, to me, is the crux. If they can right that offensive line, I think they'll be in the mix. Obviously, you want to get a healthy Jonathan Taylor back. But that's a cool team I'm not giving up on, because they're 3-2-1, and they haven't looked good doing it, but they're still in the thick of it.
Yeah, kind of the rebound bowl. You know, both teams got off to very sluggish starts. You know, Colts lost, you know, tied the Texans, and Matt Ryan hasn't looked what you expected him to be. But I agree with you. I think it's not all his fault. You know, if you don't have time to throw the ball and your running game isn't at a caliber what you expect it to be with, you know, last week both Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines were out for the game. They're both expected to be back today against the Titans, but it's allowed Matt Ryan to not do what he does best. And, you know, it's field. I mean, he's completing 20-plus yard passes at a 3% clip. That's just not going to get it done in 2022 NFL. You know, it's the lowest in the league. And, you know, if you're watching this game on Sunday Ticket, you're looking at a ground and pound on both sides. And it's kind of a mirror game because Tannehill, Ryan, similar – play action pass, big play down the field, you know. But if you look at both of these teams, they are very happy to be where they are, even if it's a half a game, one game lead in the AFC South. But it's you know, you look at it and it's like, wow, weren't these teams not really good like 2 weeks ago? And they were. But that's what this league's about this year. You can rebound so quickly and get back into things that I wonder how that affects teams' thinking. You know, we talked to Howard Balzer again, you know, Wednesday night. that's how the Cardinals were thinking, and look what they came up with Thursday night. So it's
exactly.
kind of
yeah.
you know quick memory in this week, you know, the 2022 season.
Yeah, you
but
need to forget. You know what? I'm going with the Colts in the upset. And if there's a reason why, I think it's going to be a second half game. The Tennessee Titans have been outscored 71-14 in the second half. That could change. The Titans are coming off a bye week, but I like the matchup. I'm taking the Colts because I still am not giving up on the Colts yet. Nahum Hines can get things done and spell a little bit of relief if Taylor's not right. But if they can stem the tide and get Taylor right, they'll be okay in that division. Again, I'll take the Indianapolis Colts. Let's go to the
feel-good week for the Titans. They get it. They're going to get a new stadium. They're coming off the bye week. They're at home. They're feeling good about this.
They are. And they got something to prove. The nation's capital, the Washington Commanders at 2-4, entertain the Green Bay Packers, who are real happy to not play a team from the state of New York. Let's just say that. Randall Cobb now will miss several weeks with an ankle injury. Rodgers suffering from a thumb injury, John, on his throwing hand. They've only forced 4 turnovers, and they're -4 in turnover ratio are the Green Bay Packers. From 2019 to 2021, their turnover ratio was +32. Interesting dynamic with the Green Bay Packers, and you have all that Jim Irsay talking about Dan Snyder, which will be the biggest story off the field. But Green Bay, what are we to think of the Packers? Because this is a game they should win, but there are no sure things right now with the Green Bay Packers and all the idiosyncratic receivers getting to know their roles and a couple injuries here and there, JC.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things you hit on, they don't turn the ball over, and that sparks immediate comebacks. And two, on offense, they just don't have the firepower to make those comebacks in the second half. And now you got Rodgers hurt with the thumb, and of course he's going to say, you know, I can play through it. Sure, you can play through it when you have Devontae Adams and, you know, Randall Cobb out there and, you know, some of the people that you had, you know, in the past, but you don't now. You know, when Alan Lazard is your number one, he makes pretty highlights, but he's not there in clutch situations for them. And to be honest with you, last week against the Jets, they just simply get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a coaching thing, I think, for them because, you know, when you have players coming out after the game saying, man, they just showed us things we didn't expect, that's bad. That's really bad when players are saying that immediately follow a game because, you know, as Howard said Wednesday, teams are usually prepared, and it's usually an execution thing. But when teams say that they haven't seen stuff, that worries me a little bit about Green Bay. Maybe the problem is bigger than we think.
You're right. And they're in real serious jeopardy if they lose today. The Vikings look like they're for real, 5-1. You don't want to fall a few games behind, and you're still trying to right the ship with Green Bay because you just don't know. And they've had these back-to-back-to-back 13 seasons. But at some point, you know, you just can't pencil a division in. And with no Devontae Adams, some dinged up there. I'm surprised they're not running the ball as well as they were. So we're looking at the offensive and defensive lines of Green Bay and maybe not being as good as we thought, really not playing up to capability as they did last year. And lots of question marks for this Green Bay Packers team. I think they get the job done today. I think it could get a little ugly because I think the Washington Commanders are better off with their backup quarterback in Taylor Heineke than they are with Carson Wentz. And that's my thing today. I think Washington's going to play better, keep it close. But I like the Packers today, JC.
I agree with you. The Commanders are in a better situation, and maybe it helps out that defense that, honestly, for the past 2.5 years, hasn't played as well as it should, you know, with Del Rio's system. But, you know, this is kind of maybe a get-real game. And I'm with you. I will take the Packers today, but there's the caveat. I'm basing it on, you know, the Packers of old. And I'm just not buying in that they can get it done in 2022. They lose today, 3 games behind the Vikings in the loss column, and the Vikes have a game in hand with that win over them in week 1. So I don't feel good about it, but I'll take the Packers.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there. Let's move right along. 4 or 5 games. The New York Jets at 4-2 go to Denver, another relatively hostile place to play after winning last week at Green Bay. The Broncos are 2-4, and they look like they're circling the drain, coach and quarterback alike. Russell Wilson out with a hamstring. Brett Rypien gets the start. The Jets looking to go 5-2 for the first time since 2010 under Rex Ryan. It's all about defense today. Jets have the 9th overall defense. Denver has the 3rd. I'm looking for a low-scoring game today. But, JC, I like the Jets to go in there, and you're going to talk about a Jet-Patriot matchup, which hasn't been this intriguing since the year 2010. I like the Jets today to go into Denver and win.
I do, too. I'm with you. Here's what scares me. 86% of the betting money is on the Jets today, especially now that Russell Wilson has already been ruled out yesterday by the Broncos, and Brett Rypien is going to be your starter at quarterback, which I actually think will help the Broncos offensively and settle things down. They'll get back to what they should do, a little short passing game, run the ball, you know, not worry about where Russell is letting it ride or not letting it ride. Mm-hmm. But what a spot for the Jets, the J-E-T-S, and I'm sure Lou is listening and, you know, doing a little cheer. But if you can give a young team the confidence going into Lambeau, going into Mile High, and then you come home to face the Patriots and the Bills, damn, that is just this gold right now if you're Robert Saleh. And when you look at it on its face, they don't throw it with Zach Wilson. He's averaging about $160 a game. They don't run it exceptionally well, but they run it well with Breece Hall and Michael Carter. Sauce Gardner's becoming a shutdown corner defensively. They get after the quarterback. They just do enough. You know, it's not going to jump out to you fantasy-wise. It's just not going to jump out at you on a stat. But who says you need any of those things? Because the most important one is they got 4 wins, and 3 of them are away from home.
Yep.
So if you're Robert Saleh, run it all day long. I'm taking the Jets today. But the caveat is usually in the NFL, when everyone goes left, the game goes right. So wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't shock me either, but it'd be a nice thing to, you know, to kind of, you know, like you said, you look at the Jets. If Jets win today, they come home to play the Pats and the Bills, and you would have never thought that those games would actually possibly be competitive, but it's a good thing for football and in the NFC, in AFCs, because it's good. I mean, the Pats only division for so long. It's a little more top-heavy with Buffalo now, but, you know, the 2 spots, the wild card spots, they're wide open with the 3 teams. And we'll talk about Miami a little later on in the show as well. JC and Sunship's here for you for another 17 minutes on the Going Old School show, NFL Week 7 Sunday edition, live on blogtalkradio.com. The dreadful Houston Texans at 1-3-1 go to Las Vegas, and the Las Vegas Raiders are 1-4. And this is a must-win for two people. Derek Carr, who was 57-7-3, at 73 in his career, one loss wise, and Josh McDaniels, who was 12-20 as a head coach. I know that's in the past, JC, but losing, these things creep up and they're remembered. You start pointing these things out. This Raiders team is certainly underachieving, and they go in 5 today. Natives are going to get a little restless there in Sin City.
Oh, there's no question. And now reports that Magic Johnson wants to buy into the team. God, why would you do that? He was a joke when he tried to buy part of the Lakers. But stay away from that, Mark Davis. But, you know, the Raiders have always been a circus, so why not add one more clown to the mix? But, yeah, you're right. It's an absolute must-win. Derek Carr, you know, with each passing week, is just throwing millions and millions of dollars out for his next contract. And, you know, it continues. He'll be looking at, you know, playing for the Carolina Panthers next year. So, but, hey, the Texans haven't played, you know, quite close. They beat Jacksonville lately, but Raiders coming off the bye week. If they don't get it done, it's over. Season is over. I got the Raiders today.
I do too. And the Texans have the 30th ranked offense and the 31st ranked defense. You're right. The Raiders, you've got to come out and establish yourself and lay the wood to this team today, as you should at home coming off a bye week. Let's move right along. The 3-3 Seattle Seahawks go to the L.A. Chargers, who have won 3 straight. The Chargers 4-2, and still nobody's talking about them in L.A., no, maybe anywhere. Their defense is 26th in points allowed, though, per game, and 18th in net yards per game. The Chargers defense has allowed 15 plays of 30 yards or more, including 5 TDs. But that's not Geno Smith's game. He's kind of like short passes, get a great quarterback rating, not flashy, but getting it done. They've won 2 of the last 3, but given up an average of 27.2 points per game, JC. What used to be an old AFC West matchup, The Chargers today at home. I like them against the Seahawks, who, again, I think are a little overachieving at the moment, at least from their standpoint.
Yeah, it's good to see them. What should have been a rebuilding year for Seattle. And love those old Dan Curiel. Dan, about Jim Zorn matchups on NBC with Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen back in the day.
You got it.
How about this? You're talking about Geno Smith, right? If you talked about the top graded quarterbacks in the league, you know, you would say, okay, it's going to be Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, blah, 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 Russell Wilson. Geno Smith is the second top graded passer in the league right now. That's amazing.
It is. Good story. Journeyman kind of.
Great story.
Kind of kept his head in there.
Great story. And you're right. The Seahawks are overachieving. I don't think they have enough. You know, if you go into this game, you think you'd be talking about Justin Herbert, and I will in a few minutes.
I do, too. Talk about two defensive-minded coaches, head coaches, and Brandon Staley and Pete Carroll. My one caveat with this is, what is Brandon Staley going to do to outsmart himself? You know, I mean, his team has bailed him out because they could easily have a couple more losses or at least be in a couple more closer games than they are. At some point, those players have to say, dude, can you let us win the games on the field the way we should at some point? Gets a little too cute in this fourth downs. I know that's his MO and the analytics, but at some point, JC, you keep spinning that roulette wheel, and you're going to fall on black. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Your thoughts on Justin Herbert? I like the Chargers today as well.
Yeah, and I will get into him in our route show.
Oh, I got you.
Segment, but you're right. The house always wins eventually, right?
Yep.
And that's why we talk about the Chargers not getting back to the playoffs, and you know, you keep rolling the dice, and the house has always won, and the house continues to win. Then we could be talking about Sean Payton in L.A. instead of Brandon Staley.
No question about that. Moving right along, 425. Kansas City at 4-2. They go to San Francisco to take on the San Francisco 49ers. First meeting since Super Bowl 54. The matchup of the game is the Chiefs' fifth overall offense versus the 49ers' number one overall defense. That maybe changed a little bit statistically or personnel-wise because of the dinged up couple of players out for San Francisco. But we talked about it at the onset. They've got to be feeling good with CMC in the back in the backfield. I mean, he's going to see time today. There's no question about it. They're going against the Kansas City Chiefs offense that has at least 300 net yards in 11 straight games, coming off a tough loss against Buffalo. How do you see this one shaking out, JC? Because this is probably the most intriguing or one of the most intriguing games of the week, just based on the last time these two met. And again, the two tight ends are all world.
Yeah, I mean, everything to me screams Chiefs. You know, they just don't lose two games in a row. And, you know, it's got to be a bitter taste in Mahomes' mouth with the way things ended last week in Kansas City against the Bills. And so everything on paper screams Chiefs to me. And you wonder if the 49ers are going to be healthy enough and, you know, how they'll use McCaffrey today. They said they have a goal line package for him. But you know what Sinan's going to do. He's going to start to overuse him, you know, as soon as he gets in the games. It's just mm-hmm. human nature. I do like the Niners in a squeaker kind of, you know, the numbers don't say that, because I think if I were actually putting money on the game, I would take the Chiefs. But just gut instinct, I think the Niners pull it off. And I think last week against Atlanta was a trap game. They just weren't there, weren't prepared enough. And so I think they get back into it. And there's a little fuel in that Super Bowl rematch, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. It's still only a couple of seasons ago, but you're right. And if you're looking at that Super Bowl rematch, if the Niners players are thinking about that. They're thinking about having a 10-point lead with under 10 minutes left in Super Bowl 54, and they let that get away. So the hangover's over. The incentive's there. I like the Chiefs in a close game, though, today, because I think they're going to be fired up. And I think, they lost to Buffalo last week, but they're right there with Buffalo. I've heard some people talk about how Kansas City, are they, you know, after today, do they just not go after a receiver? Do they think they're maybe just playing out this week because Buffalo's a better team? They're right there with Buffalo. Buffalo, I think, is the better team right now, but Von Miller's play last week led to that interception by Mahomes. That could have been a totally different story if that didn't happen. I like the Chiefs today in a close one. How about this in Miami? 3-3, they take on the Steelers. And I don't look at the 50th anniversary, which you hit on. But you have the Brian Flores situation as the assistant linebackers coach and assistant defensive coordinator for Pittsburgh against his former team. And owner Stephen Ross regained full ownership privileges this week after a tampering suspension early on in the season, JC. Lots going on off the field with this team. Tua's back in Miami 3 weeks ago was the talk of the NFL, and now they're looking for some way to right the ship and get on a track to a winning way. Don't you think?
Yeah, and let's not forget Minkah Fitzpatrick heading back to Miami, facing his former team, you know, that he wanted to run away from, and they let him run away from with the trade to Pittsburgh. You know, he missed last week, and they still beat Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of deep shots in this game. Tua Tagovailoa, 55% of his deep passes being completed, best in the league. You know, he's back. He's going to want to get after it. You know, showcase Tyreek Hill, Sunday Night Football. You know, be a lot to talk about the past and everything. And, you know, just for grins and giggles, I'm hoping the Steelers and Mike Tomlin and Brian Flores goes in there and kick the Dolphins' ass.
Of course you do. It's, yeah, anything good. You'll buy the 50th anniversary celebration, I agree. I like Pickett, and I think they're set up for the future. But, you know, if they lose, the Steelers are 2-5, and granted they're mathematically still in it, but with the rumors of Claypool, do they start maybe shoveling off a couple of pieces in that receiving core to get some draft capital? But don't count Mike Tomlin out, a coach who's never had a losing season in his tenure with the Steelers. They can find a way to at least right the ship for a game, and I'd love to see the upset against the Dolphins today. But if that happens, talk about a rise and a fall of one Steve McMichael, or McDaniel, I'm sorry. No, McDaniel, the coach of the Dolphins. I mean, again, toast of the town a few weeks ago, beating the likes of the teams that they did, and all of a sudden kind of falling on his face. They go to 3-4 today. The Dolphins are looking for answers and looking for them quickly, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right, that's a slick. About 7.5 minutes left in the show, JC. I'd be remiss if we didn't go to the – we're going to talk about – give our takes on the National American League Championship Series in the world of the MLB, but we got to go to the route shot and bust out. I'm going to let you lead it off. Give me your route first.
Yeah, my route, the Raiders over the Texans. The Raiders are desperate. They need their second win of the season. Texans can't stop anything. They're third worst, averaging 164 yards to their opponent, and they've let at least 130 yards to all six opponents this year. And how about this? The Raiders, their losses, 1 to KC, 2 to the Titans, 6 to the Cardinals, 5 to the Chargers. Today they will win by 21.
I agree. I mean, that's a good pick. I like the New England Patriots because I honestly, and here's the thing, Bill Belichick is looking towards next week. I guarantee you that. The other coaches aren't. But Bill Belichick, in his heart of hearts, wants the Jets to win today and his team and to go in there and have bragging rights. Bill Belichick would like nothing more than to go into the former Meadowlands and take on a 5-2 Jet team that he despises. And I think that happens tomorrow. I think they're much better than the Bears. I think the defense will play well. They'll pound the rock no matter who's at quarterback. And they're just going to get the job done. I think, I'm not sold on the Bears. I'm more sold on the Patriots than their upswing. You can call it a replay of last year when they ran off a bunch of several victories at this time. But I think the Patriots get it done in a big way tomorrow. I think they win by 2 touchdowns against the Bears, and they are my route, JC. Let's go to your shout, if we will.
My shout to the Jets, 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 Jets. Young team, big spot at Mile High today. They get a little luck with Russell Wilson being out for the Broncos. And it's a maturity game today. Can you take what is given to you? Or are you going to be this young team that goes out there, throws out their jock, kind of like the Celtics against the Warriors in the NBA Finals and expect to win? It may be something different. So a shout-out to the Jets today to see if they can handle a big spot.
Ditto. I like the Jets, too. They're playing well. I think they go in there. They're my shout-out. Shout out to the Jets, 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 Jets. They get a win in a tough place to play last week. You talked about in Green Bay, and they'll do it today in the rarefied air of Mile High Stadium, or what was Mile High Stadium, whatever it is now. especially with, for a rookie.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever spot.
Yeah, whatever. I like, hey, old school, we'll go Mile High Stadium because they are on Mile High. But they go up there. They blood dope if they have to, and they get the job done. And the Jets go to 5-2 and come to, and set up that face-off with the New England Patriots next week. Bust out, JC.
I bust out. I kind of foreshadowed it earlier. Justin Herbert of the L.A., formerly San Diego. God. Seattle gives up 410 yards passing a game. But Herbert's kind of been down. You know, another Chargers are 4-2. Probably your Chiefs at the AFC West. But last couple of games, 238 against the Broncos, 228 against the Browns, both wins. He's only had two games out of six going over 300 yards. Today, I think he goes for four Bills against the Seahawks.
My bust out today is one Tom Brady. He's going to bust out in several ways. I mean, you look at his stats. Eight touchdowns, one interception. He's passing for 275 yards per game. His quarterback rating is 95.5. But that's not all it's about with Tom Brady. He's going to go out today and win or lose, he's got to perform well and pass the lights out of this ball because he needs to get his team believing that he's committed. So there's a lot of pressure on TB12 today. We're going to find out a lot not only about this team. We're going to find out a little about Tom Brady. Because if he doesn't perform well today, I'm going to put this label on him as a quitter, at least for this season. And I don't think he wants to be known as a quitter. I don't know that for sure. And you can talk about the personal stuff. But when you lace him up, TB12, get on the field because those problems are going to be there when you're done. Get the job done today against the Carolina team that is completely in rebuild mode and looking for answers. You've got to win to prove it to yourself, to your organization, and to your team who bought into your idea again this year to come back and make and give it a go and make a run for it. Show it to your teammates. Get it done. I think he does because he's got a lot riding on the line. Tom Brady is my bust out today against the Carolina Panthers, JC. In 2.5 minutes, got to get your opinion on the NL. It's out with the AL Championship Series. Yankees are down 3-0 to the Astros, my friend.
Yeah, I think nastiness, the Cortez. Gets it actually done. The Yankees actually get a win today. Save some face. But blasphemous Yankees. Who and Aaron Judge yesterday, leaving in the eighth inning. You know, shame on you. You don't appreciate Aaron Judge. I hope he leaves. And as we said back in June on our Wednesday show, the Yankees aren't winning the World Series. Houston's going forward. So, damn you, Yankees.
I like the Astros City to close it out. Yankees hitting 181 for the postseason, 128 in the ALCS. But you look at the Astros, and they're a team that's looking for their fourth World Series in 6 years. George Springer leaves. What do they do? In comes Kyle Tucker. Carlos Carrera leaves. Oh, my God, what are they going to do? In comes Jeremy Pena. Houston's forward, and they don't even have Jose Altuve. 90 seconds left in the show, JC. What do you think about the NL Championship Series?
Yeah, San Diego blew a golden opportunity last night, up 4-0 in the first. You know, 6-4 lead on Soto's bomb. It's over. It's Philadelphia, and they're moving on.
Yep. I think that his time is extended today, but Bryce Harper, 9 straight games he's hit in, reached base in 10 straight. I like the Phillies. I think it's postponed today a little bit. I think the Padres will win today, but I like the Phillies to win that series. I think it goes at least another game. I think he wins their series today, but that's going to be the World Series. And there you go. That's going to be it, JC. JC, thanks for your time today and this Sunday morning. Have a great football Sunday, buddy. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Absolutely, and hope you all have winners today.
You bet. That's going to do it on the blogtalkradio.com live edition of the Going Old School Show, week 7, Sunday, October 23rd, 2022. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. Have a great Sunday. Stay well and be safe. Woo!